I asked my fiance's cousin, Alyssa, names have been changed, to be a bridesmaid in our wedding. After sending out our save the dates 8 months prior and formal invitations 3 months before, both of which clearly stated no children, she sided with a family member who claimed they, quote unquote, already bought tickets for themselves and their kids. Oh my gosh. When we eventually agreed to allow the kids to come, okay, so she allowed them. It turned out they didn't actually have tickets. No, so they lied. Hey guys, thanks for joining me on today's episode of Here Comes the Drama. I wanted to start this episode by just thanking you guys for listening, for downloading, subscribing, and sharing with your friends. As of today, where I'm recording, it's April 15th, and we have already over 50,000 downloads. I honestly can't comprehend it. To give you a little behind the scenes, my goal for the year was 25,000 downloads, and we just hit 50,000. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much. Your love and support just means so much to me. So I want to start this episode by reading off a review of the week. This comes from MJ Groen 05. They say, I have been following Krista through YouTube and Facebook for a long time. I am absolutely obsessed with the skits that she does and absolutely am loving the podcast. So thank you so much for your kind review. If you guys have a review and are loving the podcast, feel free to leave a review yourself. It means the world to me and helps more people see and hear about the podcast. Okay, jumping into today's episode, it is a solo one, and we're going to do things a little bit different today because today is a very special day. I have officially launched my brand new book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story. If you follow me on social media, you've probably heard all about it or you see me talking about it, doing little teasers and reveals here and there. So today's the official day where if you're on my email list, you received part one for free sent to you. And don't worry, if you're not on my email list right now, you can sign up today and still get access to that first part. And then we'll be releasing part by part every single week that will go right to your inbox if you want to do it that way. You can also pre-order the book as of today. So it'll be probably another month or so before the actual book comes out, but then you'll be on that list and you'll be one of the first ones to get it. So to do things a little bit different today, I wanted to talk about Ferris and Sloan. This is what we're going to do. Talk a little bit more about the book, read a exclusive segment from the book and that you're not going to hear anywhere else, and then answer some top questions that I'm seeing on social media that people have sent me about it. And then, of course, what would an episode be without me reading a story submission from one of you guys at the very end? So don't worry, that's not going anywhere. First things first, just a little more about the book. So I took this series, this skit that I started on social media, and I turned it into a full novel. Now, originally, it was going to be a novella, but I ended up adding so many details and different characters and development that it ends up being a full novel. So it's a 6-part, 30-chapter book. And so there's a lot of fun in there. I always like to tell people that even if you watched the full skit front and back multiple times, you're still going to get something unique and different out of this book. There are so many things that I can't show as a one-person actor. I don't know what you would call myself, skit maker. So this just allows me to develop the characters even more, share more background behind the scenes, and just a lot that I, again, couldn't share otherwise. So there's different ways to get it. Like I talked about previously, if you're already on my email list, you can get part one sent for free. And then every week from until you get them all, I guess, we'll email the link to the following parts and you'll be able to purchase the following parts. Then you can also pre-order today and get the full book sent to you, whether it's digital, so through your Kindle or however you look at digital books. And then you can also get a printed version because, of course, I cannot wait to have that one in my possession and share with you guys because I'm obsessed with how the cover looks. My good friends over at Oak and Air designed that for me. And originally when we set it all up, she was like, okay, with this package, you know, like, you can do 3 design edits and we'll give you 3 kind of visions to look at, whatever. She sent me the first one and I was like, I don't even want to see any other like edits. This looks absolutely amazing. So she just nailed it, like hit the ball out of the park. I think I said that phrase wrong, but whatever, you know what I mean. Okay, that's from someone that doesn't do sports. So that's like the basics of what the book is, basically. Let me read a short segment from the book that you will not get anywhere else. And as I'm reading this is before my proofreader and copy editor have read it. So things might still be changed in the actual one, but I'm just going to go ahead and read the first page for you guys. Kate couldn't believe her ears. She picked up her glass of wine, threw back what was left, then stood up and stormed out of the living room with a loud huff. Her daughter Jenny watched her leave in pure confusion, then glanced at everyone else before quickly jumping off the couch to follow her. "Mom, are you okay?" she yells after her, hurrying closer. She notices a drop of red wine has stained her mom's white blouse. "Ugh, I just know she's doing this to get my son away from me." Kate charges into the next room. She looks unsteady, like she's about to burst. "What are you talking about?" Jenny quickly interjects. "Sloane isn't taking anyone away from you." Her eyes drift toward the window, where the snow had just started. At first, it was light and quiet, barely noticeable, but now it's beginning to fall in thick clumps, sticking to the glass like something trying to get in. Kate pushes up her round, brown glasses as a bead of sweat drips from her forehead. "Did you not just hear them? They come waltzing in here on Thanksgiving to tell us they're not going to be here on Christmas." Her voice trembles with a mix of hurt and disbelief. For a moment, she is questioning if she's overreacting, but the thought vanishes as quickly as it came. Her stance is firm now. There's no going back. Jenny looks at her mother, dumbfounded. She takes a deep breath to save herself from calling out her mother's ridiculousness right here, right now. "Yeah, they planned a vacation together. I think that's perfectly acceptable." She runs a hand through her long, dirty blonde hair, exhaling sharply. "You can't tell them to not go on a vacation together." The snow is falling harder now, piling on the windowsill in soft, heavy heaps, like the weight of everything left unsaid in the room. "But on Christmas? There's 364 other days of the year. Why do they have to pick Christmas?" Kate's voice is getting louder and louder each time she talks, and there's clear panic, like she's been robbed. "My guess is because they wanted to spend the holidays together," Jenny sarcastically replies. "This isn't some weird thing from a boyfriend to do with his girlfriend." Kate rolls her eyes before putting her head down in her hands and mumbles. "You just watch, Jenny. This is how it all starts. Then soon they're not just going to show up for certain events." She looks up and stares off as if she just had an epiphany with her own words. "Mom, you should be happy that Ferris found someone he loves and wants to spend his time with," Jenny says, resting her hand on her mom's back. "Now, can we go back out there, put on a happy face, and enjoy the rest of Thanksgiving?" She raises both pointer fingers to the corners of her mouth, exaggerating a smile like she's drawing one on. After a long pause, Kate pulls a tissue out of her pocket and dabs her face, although Jenny didn't notice any tears at that moment. "Fine," she stands up tall, touching her short brown hair, and forces a painful, wide smile. "How's this?" Okay, so that's a little segment, like I said, that has not been edited yet, that has not been sent to the copy editor or the proofreader. So when you get yours today, or if you join the email list today and you get it, you're going to notice some tweaks. Because as I was reading that, I noticed I described her hair differently. So we changed some different things around. But yeah, I hope that got you guys like a little excited for it. I still can't believe it's going to be a book. Craving more wedding drama? Join my wedding party Patreon for Here Comes the Drama After Dark. Each month, we dive into juicy confessions, wedding 911 advice, and the spiciest hot takes. And of course, we always end with a wild wedding story reacting in real time. From bridesmaids to groomsmen, mother-in-law madness to photographer fails, every month has a new theme. Patreon members get early access to all regular episodes and an exclusive chat to discuss the drama. Don't just hear the drama, be a part of it. Join now. So before I get to today's like main story, I just want to answer a couple of top questions that you guys have sent me about the story, and then we'll get into it. First things first, especially as I was reading that, because so many people have asked, is this going to be an audiobook? And by now, you guys might have seen the announcement, but in case you didn't, yes, this will be an audiobook. I'm going to be slowly sharing some different dates and timelines as I have them. But the first thing to say is I am not the voice of the actor in the audiobook. And I know so many of you guys had requested that, but as you guys can see or hear, I'm not a voice actor. And that honestly puts a lot of stress on me to be able to read a full script and everything. It's just a lot. And so the company that I'm working with, Tantor Media, is just so great. They are allowing me to be a part of the full process, listen to the actors, pick one that I think really emulates the characters well, and just be a part of everything. So they're not taking it from me. I'm right there with them and making it what it should be, right? So yes, I'm very excited for that. Again, I'm going to share more dates for that when I have it available. Okay, into the Q&A. What inspired you to create Ferris and Sloan? Okay, so as you guys know, if you've been following my page, I just share wedding stories, skits, and drama. And through doing that, you know, people leave questions, they leave comments, they submit their stories. So it just kind of gets my brain going. I've always been a writer at heart. I always like creating. I would say right now, about half and half are stories I just come up with and half are stories that are submitted to me. Typically, the mini skits are ones that people send to me because I only have so much information. And then even those, though, I change like a bunch because I'm like, I never want someone to see it and like know it's like about them, of course. When it came time for Ferris and Sloan, I still remember the day, which is kind of crazy to think about. I was putting my daughter down for bed at night and just the line popped into my head about someone taking her son away. And I visualized myself walking in, you know, I film in my bathroom. So walking in the bathroom and just like being mad about something. Because as someone that works in social media, I also like think of like grabbing someone's attention, like what's going to really pull someone in, right? And so you want that antagonist or that person to come in right away. So I thought of that line right away. I did not know at that part that it was going to be what it is today. I literally thought it would be just a mini skit. I had some ideas. I didn't have the character names. I have to go back, but I don't even think I had any of the character names picked out. Maybe a few of them. Yeah, I think I had a few picked out. But yeah, I thought it was just going to be like a mini skit. And then it was really well received. People wanted more. And I just kind of ran with it. Going into that, people have also asked, like, where did the names come from? How did you come up with these? So obviously, Ferris and Sloan are popular characters in another story called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I, however, want to be very clear that when I started creating more skits, I would get very confused. And a lot of times I would call characters the wrong names because I would just randomly think of names, right? And so like, since I'm just doing them myself, I would be like, hey, Sally. And then they'd be like in the comments, you'd be like, I thought her name was Susan. And I was like, oh shoot, I totally messed it up. So to help me when I was creating these skits, I started just thinking of a random movie, random TV show. So I can remember like, okay, the mom is so-and-so, the dad is so-and-so, the sister is so-and-so. It just helped me when I was like putting the skit together. So that day, just Ferris Bueller's Day Off just popped into my head. Now, as the story has developed, I've obviously gotten rid of those like last names. And as it became a book, I completely changed it because I didn't want any confusion. Obviously, it's a completely different storyline. And so I wanted to make these characters unique. Sloan is spelled differently. All the supporting cast members, their names have changed completely. Their last names changed. Details have changed to make it really their own story because people keep comparing it. And I'm like, no, this is different. It's completely different location, everything. So that's where it came from. That was just the lucky thing that popped in my head. I grew up watching it all the time. So like I'm familiar with it, but yeah, it's a different story. Okay. The next question is, does this story cover all three seasons of Ferris and Sloan? No. So book one, Here Comes the Drama, a Ferris and Sloan story, only covers season one. So I don't want to spoil it if you haven't watched all the skits. So someone is asking about something very specific that happened in season two and asked if I would cover it. And I said, no, it's only going to cover anything in season one. That all being said, it's going to be an extension of that because like I mentioned earlier, there's only so much I can act out by myself. So there's going to be a lot more detail, a lot more dialogue. Some things that went one way in the book are going to go a different way, or one way in the skit are going to go a different way in the book. Just to kind of keep you on your toes, some things are going to be a little bit different. Some things are going to be a little toned down. Some are going to be a little extra because I wanted to keep it very surprising still because it's very unique in the fact that people have seen the story, right? So a lot of times when you're reading a book, it's your first time. So I still wanted to feel like the first time for people, but also a little familiar because it's like comforting to have familiar people, right? Okay, number three. Was Kate always meant to be that toxic or did her character evolve as you wrote more? Yeah, so obviously she started off very toxic in the beginning. I knew she was going to be kind of like that toxic mother-in-law that a lot of these stories share, but I did have some kind of arc of where she's like resolved in the skit, but people were like, I don't know, I don't really buy it, I don't believe it. And so then I ended up adding like more like drama to her. So she did evolve and she evolved in different ways. I don't want to give too much away with the book. She evolves. She was not necessarily meant to be that toxic, but I just kept kind of adding some stuff on and giving more details to it in different ways. Okay, number four, what's something we would be surprised to learn in the book? Ooh, okay, I don't want to give away what it is, but we go really in depth to one of the characters' background. So something that we didn't know about this person, and I never talked about it in the skit. It was something through my own writing of the story that I kind of discovered about this person. Yeah. And so we kind of reveal that about her. And I think it adds a little bit to the story and a little bit more to the dynamic of this person's relationship. That's all I'll say. Okay. 5. Did you have the ending planned from the beginning? No. So like I said, it's a little bit backwards where I did the skit first and I'm writing the book, right? So answering about this skit, no. I kind of just figured it out as I went. And I didn't even know it was going to be 16 parts. And then it kind of just started tying itself up as a bow. And I was like, okay, I think this is how I want it to end. When it came time for writing the book, I took similar ending, but then kind of rewrote it in a new way. So I did not see that happening. Okay, 6. What part made you laugh the most while writing or filming? Ooh, gosh. And this won't spoil anything if you've seen the skit, but actually it's a little bit different. It's different in the book. But I would just say, just hate just being so chaotic. Like, I would write things and be like, this is so ridiculous, but it made me laugh picturing it in my head. Like, her at the bridal shower. I don't want to get into specifics of what I wrote in the book, but I'm just cracking up about, like, how she arrives and how it kind of happens. Because in the skit, I can't show, like, costume. I can't show how she's styled herself, but I got into specifics of, like, what she's wearing, how she presented herself and the things she said. That was like ideal Kate right there. Okay, 7. Did any real life stories from fans inspire scenes from the book? So yes and no. There wasn't like one story that I was like, oh, I'm going to take this and make it into a book. No. But as you watch the skit, as you read the book, you're like, this is familiar, or like, I've heard something similar to it. We're always inspired by things we see. But like I said, it wasn't like I took a story and just did it. Like, for example, I've talked about this before, but like the whole Cal thing, when they say they're not going to come as their best man because his daughter's or his girlfriend's daughter's not invited. There's been very similar stories where I've read where like the best man drops out because his child's not invited. But of course, I mixed it up a little bit because it's his girlfriend and she's kind of crazy and all this stuff that, you know, just kind of made up. So there's some, of course, there's inspiration. I think it's funny when people say like, oh no, it's 100% original. I think we're inspired by things every day. But this was one story where I remember those lines. I remember like creating it myself. 8. Will there be more Ferris and Sloan stories? This is kind of a TBD, but I would definitely like to hope so. I would like to hope so. I'd like to think so. As you guys maybe saw on my social media, I am now paired with a literary agent. I work with Rosecliff Literary, and we've got some things coming. And I also have some ideas down the line. I don't think I can say too much yet, but think mini series as of books and then other ways. There's so much we can expand on with their story, and I would love to do even more. So there isn't anything for sure right now, but I'm thinking. My wheels are always turning. Okay, I've got 2 more, guys. What is something you want readers to take away from this story? I think this is key in all of my skits and all the things I share is that boundaries are important. And boundaries do not make you a bad person. And it's okay to say no. It's okay to learn from things and say, you know what? I don't want to be talked to that way anymore. I want to say no to this person. I don't like the way I feel around this person. And it's okay. It does not make you rude. When we are raised as people pleasers or somehow something influences us to be a people pleaser, we are constantly feeling guilty for saying no. I always call myself recovering people pleaser, because I'm doing so much better than I was like in my early 20s. I was such a people pleaser, like bend over backwards for everyone, no matter what. And I've really found to love myself more through saying no, which sounds so funny to say out loud. Cause I'm just like, wait, you say no to more people and you feel you love yourself? Because I think if we say yes to everybody, we're saying no to ourselves all the time, right? It's that famous quote. So just boundaries are important. And I think we also need to listen to other people's boundaries, right? It's not just about, you know, setting our own boundaries, but respecting others. So I think we can all learn from all the characters in different ways. Like, we see Jenny's such a people pleaser. You know, she wants to make everyone, she's kind of the comedic relief, right? But she's also like trying to make everyone get along. She's pulled into her mom's drama. She's pulled into backing Sloan up, right? And so I think it's really important to just see ourselves in all the characters and kind of learn from all of them. Okay, 10 is this fan fiction. I kind of already talked about this when I talked about the names and stuff, because someone said, is this fan fiction because it looks like it's like Ferris Bueller? No, it's a completely different story. The only similarities you will see is that their names are Ferris and Sloan. They're completely different people, storylines, And if this ever gets made into a film or a TV show or something, you'll be able to see that they're going to be different people. Their setup is different. Their relationships are different. It's a completely different story. So no, it's not fan fiction. Okay, guys, if you guys have any other questions when it comes to this story, you can submit them on my platform here. You can submit it on social media, comment on a video, email me, and I'm going to keep, you know, doing more lives and videos talking about the book because I'm very excited for it. As you guys know, or maybe have seen, writing a book has been something that I've always dreamed about, and I've always put it as like a goal for myself. And I just, year after year after year, I'd be like, write a book. And so it's just really been amazing to share this with you guys and be able to do this. So I'm more than happy to share more. All right, Ferris and Sloan fans, if you've been hooked on the drama that's racked up over 50 million views across platforms, you're not going to want to miss this. My new novel, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is coming soon. And part one will be free exclusively for my newsletter subscribers. Ferris and Sloan thought their engagement would be the start of their happily ever after. But Ferris's overbearing mom, Kate, has other plans. From sabotaged wedding events to emotional manipulation, Kate's doing everything she can to tear them apart. It's heartfelt, it's chaotic, and it's your new obsession. Will Sloan and Ferris survive the wedding planning meltdown of the year? Or will the drama be too much for their love to handle? Tap the link in the show notes to sign up for their newsletter and be a part of the exclusive group that will get the first part free, plus first access to pre-orders for the full book. The drama is coming, and trust me, you'll want front row seats. All right, guys, and now, like I said, what would this episode be if I didn't read a wedding submission story? So here we go. We're going to end with this little story here. It says, "Where do I even start? I asked my fiance's cousin, Alyssa, names have been changed, to be a bridesmaid in our wedding. She's dating his best friend, so we actually set them up, and she was part of our engagement. We also have been close friends for over 5 years. I thought having her stand by our sides would be a beautiful way to bridge both families. But some things happened along the way." Oh no. "At the bachelorette party, she argued with one of my other guests and spent an entire evening fighting with her sister. Oh no. After sending out our save the dates 8 months prior and formal invitations 3 months before, both of which clearly stated no children, she sided with a family member who claimed they, quote unquote, already bought tickets for themselves and their kids." Oh my gosh. Okay, so one of my first viral skits ever on social media was about something like this. And people were so split in the comments. I would say majority agreed with the bride, but that's crazy because this was like a very similar scenario. "When we eventually agreed to allow the kids to come," okay, so she allowed them, "it turned out they didn't actually have tickets." No, so they lied. Mm-hmm. That's so funny because in that skit, I said, like, we don't know if she's actually telling the truth or she just wants people to come in. Because I've seen it happen before at many weddings where they just say that as a way to convince the bride. I actually just read one not long ago where that happened. "Alyssa then told me the whole thing was my fault because I didn't personally call every family member with kids to explain our child-free policy." No, you don't need to call everybody that it's a child-free policy. If it's on the invitation and the save the date or the website, it's implied. As well as, when you do your invitations or your address on the invitation, all it needs to say is the exact names. So if you're not inviting and family, you're not putting and family. If everyone in the family is invited, put all their names or say and family. If you're just inviting the couple, just put the couple's names or Mr. and Mrs. last name, Mr. and Mr. last name, you know, whatever that looks like, just don't put and family, right? So you don't need to call every family member and say that. "She also implied that I was intentionally excluding her favorite cousin, which made it feel very personal." Okay. Number three, "While discussing Airbnb rooming options, I floated some ideas, but nothing was set in stone. She then ran to one of the groomsmen and told them he'd be stuck rooming with the loudest snorer. This caused a fight between us and him, even though no arrangements had been finalized." So she's just stirring the pot. Like, she just wants to start some drama, it sounds like. But also, like, why would then it start a fight if, like, he didn't actually hear it from you? "When we confronted her, she snapped. I'm your bridesmaid. It's my responsibility to share information." No, it's not. "Then she proceeded to share all of our private planning details with our entire friend group." Gosh, I'm wondering if there was any red flags about this girl before inviting her to be a bridesmaid. My guess is no, because why would you invite somebody to be a bridesmaid that's acting that way? Number four, every time I asked for help, and I'm not just saying number four myself, she like listed it all out, I think, because there's just so many random things that happened. Every time I asked for help, she wouldn't answer her phone. The night before the wedding, instead of being helpful, she was busy schmoozing and playing host, despite having had no hand in any of the planning. I ended up missing most of my rehearsal dinner because I was still behind on decorating. Okay, this is where I'm going to play devil's advocate. It's not your bridesmaid's fault that decorating took a little too long and you missed your rehearsal dinner. If you're rehearsed, like you're the bride, I would say they can't start the rehearsal dinner until you're there or we're cutting decorating early. There's no way I would be missing my rehearsal dinner and it's not your bridesmaid's fault. Sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I'm going to play devil's advocate. Okay, last little section here. Meanwhile, my father-in-law and brother-in-law caused a major fight 2 days before the wedding. The brother-in-law wanted to bring a Tinder date to the wedding because he didn't want to be alone. That is so funny. Oh my gosh. So I did that viral skit about someone wanting to bring a Tinder date. And that was when I wrote myself. I didn't even see this. And it was just about that and how bad it was. It was the girl bringing a Tinder date though. When my fiance told him no, he freaked out yelling, "How could you do this to me?" People were commenting on that video and they were like, "There's no way someone would bring a Tinder date." Apparently they do. "How could you do this to me?" Then he ran to tattle to their dad, who also blew up, telling my fiance, "Your brother will remember this for the rest of his life? It's not that serious. You want to bring a Tinder date, so someone presumably you just met, to your brother's wedding. Like, you have all your family there. Just, oh my gosh. This about our wedding." Mind you, the same brother, okay, here we go, more details, had recently broken up with his girlfriend. And when I asked him weeks before if she'd still be coming, he said no, he'd be coming alone. There we go. So he is trying to make them feel bad, but he's the one that said, "I'm becoming alone." He wants like a revenge girlfriend. This is so funny because it's almost the exact opposite of what I did for the skit. Like I had a bridesmaid bring a Tinder date and she had just broken up with her boyfriend. So she wanted like a revenge date. Okay, she ends with, "Then suddenly during the wedding week, he threw a tantrum about it." That sounds like his problem. Oh my gosh. I read these stories and I feel so lucky I did not have this drama at my wedding. I have to like reiterate that, guys, because so many people still comment like, "Oh my gosh, did you start these skits because of drama with your family or your husband's family?" And I was like, no, our families were drama free. I get along with my in-laws very well. I get along with my parents very well. There's no drama. It was just how it was meant to be. I don't mean that to be like, oh yay, but like we just knew what we wanted. I can't believe how people act sometimes. I think it's also like my husband and I, Zach, like we have been a part of so many people's weddings over the years. Like we are one of the later ones to get married and we've been together a long time. And so it's like we had been a part of so many weddings and been there for so many people that I think it was just like everyone just like knew it was like our time. I don't know, but I cannot believe hearing that. All right, guys. Well, that is the story for this week. Thanks for hanging out with me. Again, if you have not subscribed to my newsletter list to get part one free of Ferris and Sloan, please do that now. You'll get it in your inbox right away. And then, of course, pre-order my brand new book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story. Thank you for all of the love and support, and I cannot wait to hear what you guys think. As soon as you guys get the book and read it, I would love to hear what you guys think. Make sure to tag me, share it on social media, send me an email, whatever that looks like. I am just so, so eager and excited. Thanks, guys, and I will see you next time. Bye. Thanks so much for tuning in to Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Party Planning by Krista for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.